What's going on, listeners? I'm Aaliyah Mia Garcia, aka Aaliyah Mia Sweets, America's sweetheart, your favorite candy girl, and you're listening to Wrestle Life Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Life Radio, episode 176. I know we weren't here last week. I apologize. This Friday Night Dynamite's got us all messed up, but we're here this week, and we're going to do a quick little show for you because, honestly, it's been like a whole week since we've watched Dynamite, but we wanted to make sure we get a week in review up for you guys this week, and hopefully before too long, we will be back to a normal Wednesday night Dynamite where it belongs. I'm here this week with my wife, Riley Sin. Say hi, Riley.
Hello.
And of course, I am Micah, your regular host. No Kyle or Matt this week. They also, everybody's kind of thrown off their groove, I think, by this Friday Night Dynamite. I mean, the numbers have been pretty bad. Obviously, they were pushed off because of the the NBA playoffs, I think. I don't watch real sports. But yeah, it's kind of throwing everything off.
Yes, you do. You watch wrestling.
Okay. And it's still real to me. It's not great. It's like 10 o'clock before it starts. It's midnight before it's over. It's a terrible time slot. I hate it, and I'll be glad when it's back to regular normal Wednesday nights, but I'm sure you all will be glad as well, because then you'll get our normal time and normal AEW weekend reviews. But yeah, we're back this week, and last week's episode, just to kind of hit on it a little bit, I thought it was pretty bad, honestly. I didn't think it was a great episode. Nothing really happened. I mean, it was main evented by Nick Comoroto versus Dustin Rhodes. And while, yeah, it was a fine match, it was like, I don't know, 10 minutes long. Nothing bad about Dustin or Nick Comoroto, but like, they had the spot at the Double or Nothing Battle Royale, but just why? I don't get it. But the big news from last week, of course, is Andrade debuted. And as soon as he came out, I was like, oh, this is cool. He's going to be pushing for the Triple Mania match upcoming between Kenny and himself. But no, it actually was announced after the show. Andrade is All Elite, and he says he's going to be the new face of All Elite Wrestling. So he is officially in AEW, which I think is pretty big. What do you think about his debut, Riley?
It was pretty cool. I am not a huge fan of
Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, I was about to say it, and then I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to have so many haters.
Well, that's the point. She's a heel manager. You're not supposed to like her.
Yeah, I don't like the whole excuse me thing. It was so loud and obnoxious whenever she came out.
That's what she's supposed to do.
I know, but I know that's what she's supposed to do. I just don't like it. And I think that it took away from Andrade, honestly.
It kept it from getting cheered, for sure, because people were so busy booing Vicky, they didn't even understand that she said Andrade. They were just continued booing, and he walked out, and they were like confused. And it was like a dead crowd last week too. I guess that 10 o'clock show really hurt him. But this week's was better for sure. It was a recorded episode, which I think generally are better as of late, especially in situations like this on a late Friday night. I'm sure they recorded on like a Saturday or something. But yeah, we opened up with Christian Cage versus Angelico, which I thought would be a banger of a match, and it was a fine match. It wasn't a bad match by any means. It was kind of cut short. It was like 9 minutes. I thought it could have been better. Christian did a great job of selling throughout the match. He kept Angelico kept working on his arm, and it was kind of the story of he can't hit the kill switch, but of course he did eventually hit the kill switch for the win. Jack Evans and Matt Hardy then attack Christian. Matt Hardy hits a twist of fate on Christian on the outside, and Jungle Boy runs in for the save, clearing the ring. And what was really surprising to me about this match was Christian actually hit a flying headbutt. And that is not a move you see very often. Not a move you see very often from people who were out for, 7 years with concussions? Kind of crazy to see him using that move. I don't think he should be. I know Daniel Bryan used it for a long time, to much of the chagrin of some of the veterans in the locker room. Obviously, Chris Benoit is the famous person that used it, and of course, he's the most famous CTE case in wrestling. I don't like the move. I wish he wouldn't do it. I thought the match was pretty good.
You're not the only one who thinks that he should not have done that. I was kind of looking at the comments and stuff. Like, I think AEW actually posted the video of that, like a clip of that one move that he did. And everybody was basically saying, he shouldn't be doing that move. That's crazy. And, yeah.
So. It's a pretty dangerous move. I mean, it literally, like, your head is taking a lot of the impact, which is not the place you want to take the impact.
And honestly, when it happened, I was like, wait, what was that? It was like, because I've never seen that before.
Yeah,
like,
and in today's day of wrestling, it's not super impactful looking either. I don't think it's worth it. They did announce after that the Welcome Back Tour, which will be July 7th in Miami, Road Rager, Fighter Fest on July 14th in Austin, and 21st in Dallas. It's going to be a two-night event. And Fight for the Fallen is going to be July 28th in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they actually announced today, I believe it was, that AEW is going to New York City for the first time at the Something Center. I don't know. And it's going to be in September, I believe. And a lot of the roster is super pumped for that. A lot of them are from New York City, obviously Proud and Powerful, Eddie Kingston, I think Chris Statlander, Trent, a lot of New York-based wrestlers, and I'm sure that'll be a great show. I think it's a pretty big arena that they're going to, so I'm sure they'll sell out. New York City's got so many people. I mean, it's hard not to sell out there. A lot of people talking about, oh, they're encroaching on WWE's territory. I mean, come on, man. It's New York City. It's one of the biggest cities in the country. They're going to go there, obviously. After that, we had an announcement by Cody, which is what it was lauded as. I mean, I'm kind of sick of seeing this. Like, it seems like this happens a lot. It's like, oh, stay tuned for next week. It's an announcement by Cody, and it's a nothing burger. He came out, and Arn Jr. was announced as debuting in a tag team match next week with Cody versus the Nightmare Factory. I think Brock Anderson. Yeah, Brock Anderson, which is kind of funny because Tony was like, yeah, we'll see the big debut of Brock Anderson. I was like, oh, thought he was going to say Lesnar there for a second. But yeah, they're dragging out the Nightmare Family versus the Factory feud even more. It's not good. I don't really like it at this point. I'm over it. Maybe Brock is good. He looks exactly like Arn Anderson. There was a little scuffle in this segment, and he threw some punches. They weren't great. He's never had a match before. I'm sure he's been training for, I don't know, quite a few years now, but I just didn't love it. And also during this match, QT comes out, says he wants to whip Cody literally, and he proposes they have a South Beach strap match at the first live road show in Miami next month. Cody takes off his belt and is like, why don't we do it right now? And then QT takes off his belt and whips Arn Anderson for some reason. That's when Brock got involved. He tackled QT.
Well, that answers your question. That's why he hit Arn in the back, so they could get an excuse to show off Brock's skills.
It is. It's I don't know. I didn't think it was a good segment. I don't want to see QT Marshall versus Cody again. Like, I don't know. At this point, like, I know Cody's, like, very soon going to go away, right? But, like, just go away, man. Like, you need to reconfigure your storyline, what you're doing here. Cody, at one point, was so hot as a babyface. He was cutting some of the greatest promos. And that promo he cut before Double or Nothing was really good, even though the majority of the internet hated it. I liked it. But, like, just do something else, man. Like, move on. They don't have to drag this out. And the thing is, that's the problem with these Friday Night Dynamites. They are just dragging things out, I think, because they're like, okay, people aren't really watching right now.
Wait for our good stuff.
Later. Yeah, we're going to wait till we go on the road, till we get back on Wednesday, and then we'll kick it into high gear and start the build for the next pay-per-view. I don't know. I'm just ready for this to be over. Hopefully the strap match is it. I don't know. Maybe? You think?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think it ends until Anthony Agogo beats Cody. But.
And QT was answering questions on Twitter the other day, and he has been wrestling since 2004. Just for your information.
Who asked that question?
I asked it on Twitter.
We then had Pac and Pentagon with Eddie Kingston versus the Young Bucks and Brandon Cutler. Don Callis is on commentary. He gets the usual warm welcome. This match was basically set up as the Young Bucks have Brandon Cutler as their young boy in the corner. And they're kind of just, like, pushing him to make a name for himself, to like on BTE, they've been pushing him as like, hey, do you want to feed your family? Do you want to keep these two contracts? Well, then do what we say. Cheat if you have to. Make sure we win. Make sure we look good. And they keep pushing him, keep pushing him. He, at one point, goes to hit Pac with the camera again, and he gets just, like, clobbered by Eddie Kingston. He hits him with a spinning back fist, and Pac gets the cover on Cutler for the win. I thought this was actually a really good match. I thought it had a really good dynamic to it. Of course, you know, you've got Pentagon, Eddie Kingston, Pac, and the Young Bucks, some of the best wrestlers in the world. And also Brandon Cutler, who I think is very good and is kind of undersold in his role, but I think he does it perfectly. But yeah, I thought this match was good. It's a shame that Phoenix is, I guess, injured still, or else it could have been the entirety of Death Triangle. There were some interesting dynamics between Eddie Kingston and Pac, where obviously they were part of the family or whatever, but they had some issues, and they actually had to tag on each other, and they had to rely on each other during this match. So maybe that kind of ties up some loose ends. I like how they don't like completely just forget about things. It's kind of some continuity. It's nice. It's good to have. But yeah, this was a good match. What did you think about this match? You're the huge Young Bucks fan. How do you feel about them losing?
Oh, I was fine with them losing here. I really did like this match, and I just feel bad for Brandon Cutler. Like, he took all of the bumps. Like, he took all of them. He even, like, threw himself. He wasn't even, like, the legal man. He threw himself in front of the Bucks. I don't remember which one it was. To take a bump so they wouldn't have to. I mean, he legitimately, like, went out there and did all that because in this particular storyline, like, he doesn't want to be fired, and he like literally just bought a house. He has a wife, and I don't know if he has a kid or not, maybe, but he just wants to feed his family, keep a roof over his head, so he's taking all the bumps.
Poor Brandon Cutler. I hope he's got some of that cool spray to keep his bones.
He did do his joints. He also had to do 5,000 squats, I believe.
Yeah, Don Callis said since they lost, he has to do 5,000 squats.
Yeah.
After the match, the Good Brothers attack, and it got a like audible groan from me. Just, I don't care for him. But what got a pop from me was Frankie Kazarian coming out to make the save, because I love Frankie Kazarian, and I really like this Elite Hunter story they're doing with him. I think it can go to some really good things, and hopefully it ends up with Frankie versus Kenny for the belt. That would be super cool. We then have Don and Kenny backstage. They've got a documentary they're going to show exposing the conspiracy to screw Kenny out of the title at Double or Nothing. This does sound vaguely familiar for people that stay up with wrestling. Maybe you've watched SmackDown recently and seen the conspiracy against Sami Zayn. Obviously, some parallels can be pulled here. But they've cut up a clip show of the main event at Double or Nothing, and they've added subtitles and changed the crowd's reactions, so basically it looks like Kenny is overcoming adversity, the referees are crooked, and they're like, I hate you, Kenny and Don, I just want Kenny to lose the belts. When the fans are chanting F you Don, the subtitles say thank you Don. It was a really good segment. I really enjoyed it. It could be a bit derivative of what Sami Zayn's doing, but hey, I thought it was great.
It was hilarious.
It was hilarious, yeah. We then had the Pinnacle come to the ring. Everyone gets their turn on the mic this time. And Wardlow comes out and accepts the cage match with Jake Hager, which is interesting because, like, you would think at this point Pinnacle's got to get a win, but how does Jake Hager lose in a legit MMA, legit air quotes, MMA cage match to Wardlow when he's undefeated in actual MMA? So surely Jake Hager's got to win this. I don't want to see Wardlow lose. I know he beat him last time, so maybe this is like a best, you know, like a best of three kind of deal. That could work out pretty well. MJF gets on the mic, but Jericho interrupts him via the Titantron from the parking lot, and he says, you know what happens when you don't give the Inner Circle what they want, because he is denied a rematch. And the Inner Circle takes a forklift, takes sledgehammers, takes baseball bats, and destroys the Pinnacle's limo. This was a really fun segment. Jake Hager basically just picks up the car, the limo, flips it over. Santana and Ortiz are spray painting it with apparently a nod to The Simpsons. I didn't know this until afterwards. He spray painted El Barto on there, which is a nod to Bart Simpson. But yeah, this was a fun segment. It reminded me of an old like SmackDown vs. Raw campaign mode video game segment. I thought it was pretty cool. What do you think?
This was really awesome. And just a fun fact for you guys who don't watch Sammy's vlog on YouTube. Apparently, Jake Hager's wife thinks he can't drive, and Jake Hager agrees. So he was wondering how he could drive the forklift because he said, if you ask my wife, I can't drive.
Well, obviously he can hit cars.
Yeah. So
maybe that's what she means. He always hitting things. It works out. We then have Darby and Sting in their abandoned warehouse. Darby basically pleads with Sting to stay home next week in his handicap match. And Sting is like, no, we don't want to do that, Darby. I mean, this is stupid. Like, there's two of them. There's one of me. And Darby's like, please, you had your match at Double or Nothing, Dad. Please just let me do this by myself. Let me prove myself. I can beat them in a handicap match.
Come on,
and Sting
Papa.
Was like,
just stay home.
Okay, little Sting son, Sting Jr. Okay. So we're getting Darby versus Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky in a handicap match next week. I'm sure that'll be great, even if it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Poor
Darby Allin.
Poor Darby's body.
I mean, I feel that way like every time he's in a match.
I know, but do you remember Ethan Page throwing him from the ring over those little fence thingies? I'm never going to be able to know what those things are called.
Barricades.
The barricades?
Yeah, the barricades.
Fence things? Yeah.
Fence thingies. We then had, oddly enough, not the main event of the night. We had Miro versus Evil Uno for the TNT Championship. Now, of course, the reason this is at the end of the first hour is because nobody watches the second hour because it's freaking 12 o'clock at night. So they did this at the top of the first hour, which is the real main event of the evening, Miro versus Evil Uno. This was a pretty good match. I don't know, like, I thought it was pretty good. That's about all I can say about it. Like, the Dark Order was there for support on Evil Uno when he needed them. Miro no-sells the Brody Lee Discus Lariat from Uno, hits him with the game over for the submission win. I kind of hate to see Evil Uno lose here, but I think this has got to culminate with somebody from the Dark Order beating Miro for the TNT title, right?
Probably. I mean, there have been many that have tried taking the TNT championship, so I just feel like it'll come soon.
Let's speculate here for a second. Who do you think it would be? Would it be Stu Grayson? Preston Vance? Hangman?
See, Hangman technically is not part of the Dark Order.
What if he was like, what if he went and won the TNT title and he was like, I'm bringing it back home to the Dark Order.
Bring it back home to the Dark Order.
And you put on the mask.
Jeez, I just think, like, any time that I think of a Dark Order member as a TNT champion, I think of Johnny Hungy.
That's true.
Like, that's the guy I think of.
That's true.
And he could come out in his Brody Lee jacket that he had, that matches Brody Lee's jacket that he had. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll see. I'm not sure where they're leading to with this. Maybe they're not leading anywhere. Maybe it's just a little temporary feud. After that, we had an Andrade vignette in which he's looking like $1 million. He's definitely getting that Ric Flair drip, some teachings from his father-in-law, because he has got the cufflinks, he's got the watch, he's got all the jewelry, he's got the $1,000 suit. He looks great. He really does. He looks like he's coming in, and he looks like a legit, like, superstar. And I'm really excited for him because he is, and he just wasn't treated that way for a long time. But yeah, he said next week he's having a sit-down interview with JR. We'll actually get to hear him talk, which I didn't mention earlier. We actually got to hear him talk on his debut, which I don't know that I've ever heard him say more than a few words, which is great because, believe it or not, the guy actually speaks English. It's hard to believe. But yeah, I'm excited for that.
Did they strictly make him speak Spanish whenever he was in WWE?
He always had Zelina Vega speaking for him or somebody speaking for him.
Oh, okay.
He hardly ever said anything. We then had Kenny and Don Callis in the ring with Tony Schiavone. Don Callis calls out Jungle Boy as a one-hit wonder. just like the band who sings his entrance song, which, oof, that's hits a little close to home. Kenny then says he sees a little bit of himself in Jungle Boy, and he's like berating Jungle Boy, and Jungle Boy interrupts and says, "You know what, Kenny? You talk too much." And then they start fighting. Kenny swings, he misses. Jungle Boy works him over and hits him in the, what do they call it, the snare trap. And, of course, the Young Bucks come out for the save and run Jungle Boy off. But this is building to Jungle Boy versus Kenny, I think, 2 weeks from now on the Saturday Dynamite. I don't know. It's all over the place. We then have Jade and Mark Sterling backstage cutting a little promo. I really like Mark Sterling with Jade. What do you think about the pairing?
I like it. It's because they're different. Like, they have different styles. And I really liked whenever Mark Sterling was like, he said that B word. He didn't actually say the word. Like, yeah. He didn't feel comfortable saying it. And then Jade said it. But, I mean, you know.
He was talking about, make sure you say that B word, because we get, what, subsidiaries every time you say it? So, yeah. I like him. I wasn't sure about Jade having a manager, but I do like this dynamic because she doesn't really have a manager. It seems like she's got an assistant, which works out pretty well. It's kind of like the Britt Baker Reba scenario.
Yeah, and it kind of just seems like even though she has a manager, like, she's obviously her own boss still. It's like she has control, but he kind of helps with, like, the legal money stuff. That's what it seems like to me anyway.
The stuff that she doesn't have time for.
Right, because she's too busy being that.
That B word.
That B.
Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page are backstage. They're saying that Darby is foolish to face them 2-on-1. They have a new catchphrase, I guess, where they say it's only up from here for the men of the year, which I guess is their tag team name now. And yeah, they have entrance music and everything now, so I guess they're like a legit tag team. They're not breaking them up. It's interesting. I guess it gives them something to do while they don't have anything to do with singles runs for them. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I am sure how I feel about it. I don't like it.
It's weird to me, and this thought just popped into my head, but it's weird to me that they break up Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, which I think was a decision, probably Christopher Daniels' decision, I would imagine, because he probably doesn't want to wrestle too much anymore if he does wrestle anymore. But it's like, then Sky goes off and does his own singles thing and then ends up getting paired with somebody who's not Frankie Kazarian.
Yeah, also Ethan Page was a tag team guy before he came in.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is doesn't make any sense to me. But, I mean, it's whatever. And also, I don't really like heel Sky. So, Ethan Page as a heel, He really gives off some D-bag vibes that, like, really makes me not like him. So, I get it there. But yeah. Sky does not, so.
It's more natural for him.
Yeah.
We then have Ryan Nemeth and the Wingmen backstage. And they call out Orange Cassidy and offer him a spot in the Wingmen makeover program because they say he dresses like a child. And they say either we rearrange your wardrobe or Cesar Bononi rearranges your face. I love the Wingmen. I love Ryan Nemeth. I know he poked fun whenever he came in, and I will always poke fun because he is Rolf Ziggler to me. And I really like the Wingmen, though. I think JD Drake with him is great. We saw him live for Dark Elevation. They just have so much charisma, so much character work. On BTE, they're always great. I think a program between them and the Best Friends could be hilarious, and the stuff with Orange Cassidy I think will be great. I think next week we're getting Orange Cassidy versus Cesar Bononi, and I hope that's not all we're getting. Like, I hope they do some vignettes, some backstage stuff. I think that would be really funny. Maybe we'll get that. We then had Nyla Rose versus Layla Hirsch. Vicky comes out with Nyla and brings out a step stool, and I'm like, why does she have a step stool? And then I realized it had Layla's name on it.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was like, wait, what?
Layla comes in, and she chucks it into the ring. She jumps right in. She attempts a top buckle Hurricane Rana against Nyla. She powers out of it. She brings her up for the Avalanche Beast Bomb and gets the win. This was a pretty good match. It was around 10 minutes long. Both of these girls are really good and really, like, kind of hitting their stride, I think, in AEW. The whole women's division is. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, I really liked this match, and I liked the avalanche peace bomb.
It looks terrible. Oh, man, it looks like it'll kill you.
I liked that. I like that way better than what she was doing before. I think it was just a beast bomb.
Just a regular beach bomb. Beast bomb, yeah.
But I like the avalanche beast bomb.
I also like how it kind of protected Layla Hirsch, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it looks a lot more deadly than just, like, a power slam.
It literally looks deadly. Like, it will kill people.
Yeah. Ooh, and another one about this one, too. Layla Hirsch, you know how, like, a lot of times she'll put, or Nyla Rose puts the people on the ropes and, like, they kind of just dangle there. Layla Hirsch gets out of the way because, duh. Like, why would you just, like, hang there on the ropes waiting for somebody to come crashing down on the back of your neck? Like, you're not.
Yeah, it's she's smart. She's too smart for that.
That's, like, the first time I think I've seen somebody move out of the way for that move. I'm just a note.
Yeah. We then had Britt Baker backstage with Tony Schiavone. She says she knows why Nyla's coming for her title. She says that Nyla needs the title to make her, whereas she makes the title, just like she's making a new era, DMD, yada yada. Good promo backstage, as per usual. So I guess we're getting Britt Baker versus Nyla in a little feud. Last week, Nyla threw around some of her Big Macs. It was a whole thing. Not a great segment. A lot of wasted burgers, but hey. Yeah, I'm excited for this match, though. We've got it a couple times. I'm sure it'll be great. I'm curious if they're making Nyla a babyface, though. Like, are they going to separate her from Vicky a little bit, or are they just going to do heel versus heel?
I don't know. I kind of wish that they would separate her from Vicky, because I don't think that that's a good pairing, in my opinion. But
she's obviously going to be working with Andrade.
Yeah. But I don't think I've been on this show since Britt Baker won the title, and I'm just going to say this, and then I will stop. Okay. So I really love Britt Baker, but, like, she's a heel, and it bothers me that people cheer for her so much and that she's not, like, trying to be, I guess, more heel-like.
Maybe they're turning her face.
I don't know why. I don't know. But anyways, I really like her, and that's what made me sad. Like, whenever she won, I was happy, but then I was kind of like, everybody's, like, loving this. They're not like, boo, Britt Baker, how dare you take it from Hikaru Shida.
I was booing her. I do what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, that was a little
I did feel bad for Shida at some point, though, because Britt was getting bigger pops than she was.
Yeah, and she's a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my issue.
We're then on to the main event of the evening, which is Hangman Page and Preston Vance versus Brian Cage and Powerhouse Hobbs, sorry. The names are so similar. Of course, we get some more falling apart from Team Taz, in which Hook comes in, distracts the ref, Ricky Stark tosses in the title to Brian Cage, and Cage is like, no, I'm not using it, tosses it back out. Ricky Stark gets upset and slaps Cage in the face. Cage then chases Ricky Stark to the back. Stark's like, no, man, my neck, you can't attack me, my neck. They go backstage. Powerhouse Hobbs is left alone. Taz is on commentary. He's freaking out. Preston Vance hits a ripcord cutter on Hobbs. Adam Page then hits the buckshot lariat. And Tin then covers Powerhouse Hobbs for the win. And afterwards, Hangman and the Dark Order celebrate with a couple of Hangman Page wisers. And I think Negative One came out and he had water, which is really funny. Mm. And he was celebrating. I think Cole Cabana had water. It was a really big win for Preston Vance to get the pin on the main event of Dynamite. Really happy to see that. Just a happy ending to the show, I think, really. Brian Cage has got an imminent face turn. They're going to be separating him from Team Taz very soon, I feel. And curious to see how that goes. He doesn't come off babyface to me. Powerhouse Hobbs comes off more as a babyface to me. But either way, I'll enjoy it. I like both of those guys. But yeah, this is another kind of a filler episode of Dynamite, if we're being honest. I'm sure next week's, or tonight's episode, I guess would be, episode will probably be kind of the same. It's another Friday night Dynamite. It's waiting up for that Saturday, is it evening? I think it's like a middle of the day Saturday. Who knows? Who knows when Dynamite comes on anymore?
We've got to leave that Saturday open.
Yeah, it's going to be Jungle Boy versus Kenny, and Jungle Boy will inevitably win the title, of course, and everybody will cheer. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that match, even though we obviously know who's going to win. Some other news in AEW. A member of Jurassic Express did win a title in AEW. Marco Stunt won the BTE title. So big ups to Marco Stunt. Some other news in wrestling I didn't speak of earlier. Samoa Joe is back in NXT. How do you feel about that? You're a big NXT fan. You've been watching it every week.
I have not watched that episode yet. I actually was trying to catch up on SmackDown, and I just have not finished that episode of SmackDown yet because, then I'll watch NXT. But the TakeOver pay-per-view was really good.
It was good. Grimes versus whatever his name is. What is his name? LA Knight.
LA Knight, yeah.
That versus LA Knight was a very good ladder match.
Yeah, like that Nigel guy, isn't he the British guy? Or Australian.
What about Nigel?
The older guy. Isn't that his name?
Who are you talking about?
The guy who's like over NXT, like the booking.
William Regal?
He looks like a Nigel.
Okay, so you're thinking of Nigel. You're thinking of Nigel that used to do commentary for NXT.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
I was thinking, are you thinking like Nigel from the Nickelodeon cartoon with a giant nose?
He looks like him.
Yeah, no. I can see it.
Okay, so William Regal, he's like crying at the end of TakeOver, and he's like, something's got to change. And I guess that was the whole bringing in
basically Samoa Joe has came in. He's in the Stone Cold circa 2003 role where he is the security of NXT. I think he's probably not cleared to wrestle. I think that's why he came back to NXT. I think if he were cleared to wrestle, he would have went somewhere else. Which is unfortunate. The in-ring career of Samoa Joe may be over. He may have a few more matches. I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows except for him. And, but I'm really looking forward to this. I think it'll be very good. I think it kind of renewed a lot of interest in NXT. A really good move by WWE. But very strange to get, like, fired and rehired by a company within, like, a week of each other. But in his case, it does make sense because if they had a contract with him, like, hey, you're an in-ring worker. This is how much money you're getting because you're worth this in the ring. And then he can't work in the ring. He's not cleared anymore. It makes sense for them to release him and sign him under a different structured contract. I get it in his case. But in a lot of cases, like some of the other releases we've seen lately, I don't get it. But it doesn't matter because we're going to enjoy them in a lot of other places, most of them at least. And yeah, I think you know who I'm talking about.
So welcome to our All Elite Wrestling podcast where we talk about NXT for like 5 minutes.
It's the Week in Review.
You're welcome. It is?
It's the Week in Review.
You guys do that? I listen to the podcast, don't worry. I don't
either. It's because I'm here every week for you guys, except for last week. Don't worry about that. But yeah, thanks for so much for listening with us today. As always, you can follow us on Facebook at Wrestle Life Radio, Twitter and Instagram at Wrestle Life Pod. You can follow Matt at Wrestle Life Matt on pretty much everything. You can follow me, hopefully nowhere. Don't follow me, you stalker. But yeah, that has been our episode 176, I think that's right, of Wrestle Life Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully we'll be back in the groove of thing next week. And we'll get everybody back here as per normal. But I hope you all have an absolutely great rest of your week.
Bye.